glory days.
He definitely is in his glory days, but while he's not exactly Bruce, he could be any other of your favorites.
Motor bartender, Duff Man,
Chief Wiggum, young Al Pacino.
Who's the French guy? Claude, yeah.
Wherever you recognize him from, his talents were already plain to see, even when he was young.
I was a mimic always growing up, and class clown. Never thought that would turn into a marketable skill, really.
He calls it luck. We choose to call it talent, and the rest is history.
I did not think I would make it, and then I got lucky and got The Simpsons job when I was 23.
Hi, everybody!
One of the best to ever do what he does. We got the real Hank Azaria here in studio, I think.
Hey, this is Hank Azaria. You'll see me coming up on The Pulse.
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. I'm always excited about sitting down and talking to people who are doing cool and exciting things. But this is fun. This is cool.
Because
I get
for me.
To talk to somebody, actor, I guess voice actor and actor, same kind of category.
Yeah.
Now singer, performer, Bruce Springsteen tribute. Hank Azaria is here with us. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. Your voice all right?
My voice is fine. Thanks a lot. I gotta, you know, you gotta watch the talking like Bruce, and the singing like Bruce will take its toll. But I'm okay right now.
So we were talking before we got started, and as a voiceover artist as well, I mean, obviously actor, I was just intrigued by how you go through that, because that is, now you're performing in one of the, like, historically raspy kind of voices.
Yeah.
But Simpsons has been manipulating your voice to do different things. A lot of your characters. Is that hard to do?
Well, it's easy for me to make the sounds, because I'm a natural mimic. But some voices take more of a toll. Like Mo the Bartender, a big Mo show. You know, if I, after recording Mo for an hour, hour and a half, I'm pretty blown out. Same for Bruce. What kills me the most is Duff Man. Too much Duff Man will destroy my vocal cords. So you have to watch it. And singing like Bruce, you know, I've been talking like Bruce because I'm a huge fan since I was, I don't know, 12. Singing like Bruce, I had to kind of learn to do, and I got pretty obsessed with it because I wanted to do this really for my 60th birthday just to surprise my guests. And then it turned into this thing where we wanted to keep doing it.
So we're going to get to all the specifics of that, but let's backpedal for a second.
Okay.
Because we know you for a lot of different things and a lot of different roles that always leave a lasting impact. Like me and my producer were talking about everything from Friends characters to What About Polly, you know, to all
that was the French guy. Claude, yeah,
from Paris. You take your roles really seriously. You were all sold up.
I was pretty, as you say, jacked up for this.
I was in the gym a lot. Well, they tell you you're going to be naked in a movie, it'll scare you into the gym. I'll tell you that.
I would imagine that would happen. How did you get into this? Like acting, theater background, did you ever envision this?
No, I was a mimic always growing up and class clown. Never thought that would turn into a marketable skill, really. Got interested in acting, but I didn't even connect up the voices with the acting until, like, in college, even after college. But found in college I loved doing the theater, and just figured it when I got out of school, age 21, I looked at it, and I give this advice to young actors now. I just said, if you really are burning to do it, try it, because I just didn't want to regret not trying it. I did not think I would make it. I just wanted to try for a while. And then I got lucky and got The Simpsons job when I was 23.
Did you really?
I did. I mean, we went on for 36 years.
Was that an audition process?
It was an audition.
I auditioned for Mo, yeah. I was actually doing a play at the time, and I was imitating young Al Pacino, one of my heroes, right? And so I went in there and said, I kind of auditioned like this for Mo. They said, well, we want it to be raspy. So if you make young Al Pacino raspy, you get Mo. The truth is, actually, midway between Bruce Springsteen and young Al Pacino, it's Mo the Bartender, right in the center there.
People nowadays are making huge money. And for voice acting and what have you. I don't get into people's pockets, but we've read about your Simpsons.
Yeah,
contract.
Yeah, it's been
you made some pretty
published.
Good, some pretty good money doing that. But in a lot of ways, you changed the industry because people weren't, even when you auditioned, I'd imagine going in there and making huge amounts of money and not being on camera was still kind of new.
It was. Well, it's one of the things that's unique about the show, The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 36 years is crazy. And even doing 10, 15 years, that was 20 years ago we passed that mark. So we kind of were around long enough where it was really the Friends model. They kind of banded together and said, you get all of us or none of us. And that worked. And so we kind of adopted it, and that worked for us in those negotiations. This is a long time ago, but yeah.
Have people ever said thank you? It is, listen, you in a lot of ways made doing that cool so people could go in and say, I'm being Shrek and give me $20 million.
I get no one, like,
should.
Mike Myers never thanked me
thank him.
For a Shrek contract. But yeah, that did, you know, it, I mean, it is entertainment. It's a unique skill. But they'll only pay you for what you really bring.
Okay.
You know, so it but we were fortunate to get that payoff for sure.
Is this it seems like you're just having fun. Is this just still
with the Springsteen? I have fun
just in general.
Yeah, no, yeah. I love doing this. I love imitating things. I'm a mimic at heart, and yes, I love doing this.
So you started telling the Springsteen story.
Yeah.
So this was just it was your birthday.
Turning 60, I had mixed feelings about that.
Okay.
And I was like, how can I cheer myself? What would be fun? I don't usually throw parties. I said, why don't I invite a bunch of guests and put together a Springsteen tribute band? But I didn't think for a while. I just, you know, let me just sing a few songs. And we ended up singing 11 songs, playing an hour and a half that night. And then people were like, can I bring gifts? I'm like, no gifts. But donate to my foundation. I started a foundation a few years ago for primarily education and social justice. I said, donate to the foundation, you know, if you want to give a gift. We ended up raising $30,000 that night. And we sang. And it was pretty good. And I was like, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we keep doing this? And so we have. We've played a few gigs. We've sold out each one. We'll be in Philly.
Yeah,
Brooklyn Bowl. Philly, Halloween night,
which is perfect.
I'll be dressed as Bruce, but we're inviting. It's going to be like a costume party that I'll be hosting, kind of, as well as a Springsteen tribute show. Yeah. And come down and hang out. And if you're not doing anything else on Halloween, and I'll be bowling. If folks pay for a VIP, I'm promoting the show now, folks. VIP ticket, you can bowl with me before the show. I'll bowl as Bruce, I'll bowl as Mo, I'll bowl as Chief Wiggum. They all can all bowl equally because I'm bowling as them. So they have equal ability. It'll be a party afterwards. And we're good. Come check us out if you're a Springsteen fan.
It was, this is like the whole charmed life if you have talent existence. So a lot of people, it's true. It's like, I'm going to go do essentially karaoke for my birthday.
Pretty much, yeah. You know? Now, the band is really good, though. The band is beyond karaoke. These are all professional musicians, and my learning curve as a singer is steep. I've sung a lot in my career, but I never took it as seriously as trying to recreate Bruce's singing sound. And the band, my goal is to get as good as the band, because they really sound like the E Street Band.
You really sound like Bruce Springsteen.
That's the idea.
But that's, it's not crazy because you've been doing that for a long time, sounding like the different characters. Did you want to be a singer? Did you even envision that you were a singer? Like, was this surprising to you that it was this level of success?
It was surprising to me. I got very obsessed with trying to sing like him. But that is my hobby and my passion and my whole life, really, is unlocking voices. Some come easier than others. Singing, I sing on The Simpsons almost constantly, but no one cares how good. You don't really care how good Chief Wiggum sings as long as it's Chief Wiggum singing. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And I've been on Broadway and Spamalot. I had to sing a great deal. But again, it was character comedy singing. This was a different thing. I got obsessed with it for months. If you tell a hobbyist, You know, if somebody who likes to paint toy soldiers and you say you only have to paint toy soldiers for 3 months, you and I would want to kill ourselves out of boredom. But for me, I loved it. The idea of every day, just I think I unlocked this line of this song as Bruce. And so I worked at it really, really hard. And I did not start. I had to kind of learn to sing and to do this, which I'd never really taken the time to do before. And it wasn't easy. I'm still learning.
It's so, I guess I'm just so shocked by the fact that one of the iconic singers of all time, I was sitting there listening to your performances. And if you don't watch, I mean, even if you do watch, because your performance is similar to Bruce too, but if you're just listening, like, you could convince people that you were AI Bruce Springsteen.
Some a great compliment to me. A few people have heard it thinking it was Bruce.
Yeah.
Which is like my, for any mimic, that's like the holy grail. That's like what you want.
I was looking at promos for your performances.
Yeah.
And I stopped for a minute and I was like, so did they dub this in? Like, is he lip syncing Bruce Springsteen and you actually were doing it? What's the feedback been? I mean, obviously you're selling out shows. So people are liking what they're seeing.
Yeah, you know, it's been, I think the biggest feedback we've gotten is that you can really feel the joy, because I really do love Bruce. His music meant a lot to me. It actually, beyond just loving the music, his message and his whole thing got me through a lot of tough times as a teenager. It was kind of beyond just hero worship and loving him as a fan. And so to be able to sort of give this back to folks. And people like have asked me, do you feel like a rock star up there? The truth is, I feel more like an audience member at a Bruce show who's lucky enough to go up, because on stage, because it's such a communal experience. I mean, anyone who loves any artist, you feel that way. But I think for Bruce fans, his music is so cinematic and poetic that everybody has their own stories and their own movie that plays in their head. And especially as a nostalgic, which it kind of is now.
Yeah.
So I feel like, and I tell a lot of stories kind of as Bruce, but about myself. Like I tell the story the first night I met my wife, going into the song, She's the One. And I tell it as Bruce, but it's about me, and it's, I wasn't sure that would work, but the most gratifying thing to me is it kind of does. It's almost like a theater piece. And so there's a lot of stories. And I feel like I'm just sharing my own personal movie that plays in my head, but all the Bruce fans have their own movie that plays. And it's fun, you know? It's a fun communal experience.
I feel like this weird fanboying scenario, and I'll tell you why. So we've interviewed some of the guys from New Edition, right? And the way you're like Bruce Springsteen, I was New Edition.
Okay.
You're trying to learn the dance steps and everything.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me to do it and do it so well. Like, we just had Johnny Gill on. And no way am I going to sit there and try to sing Johnny Gill. And if I did, I would get laughed at and or booed off the stage. People are like, oh, my God. Like, this is amazing. And you obviously, we just met, but seemingly very humble about it and kind of tribute to Bruce Springsteen. So you still don't allow yourself a moment to kind of go, yo, this is pretty good. Like, people are embracing
in some moments. Listen, I started, you know, it's a funny story. So I was going to even keep it. I kept it a secret from everyone. I really wanted to genuinely surprise people on my birthday, which I did.
Okay.
But I tried to keep it a secret from my wife and son. But after 3 days, you know, they came to me and they were like, is there a reason you're screaming like Bruce Springsteen in the house 24/7?
Like, nah.
I was like, well, yeah. And then apparently the first few weeks of it, my son came to my wife and said, Mom, it's cringy. He sounds terrible. Who's going to tell him that he can't do this?
Aww.
And my wife was like, just let your father play it out. And at a certain moment, we'll tell him it doesn't sound very good. And I record myself on the iPhone, and I thought, I'm like, because I'd unlock a line of Born to Run. They're like, oh, that's good. And I'd go play it for them. And they'd be like, there was a lot of this reacting to recordings, like, A lot of smiling and nodding. Mm. I'm like, they don't seem to share my enthusiasm. And then one day, I think I unlocked something because I was at it for months. And I went in and I said to my, just listen to, I think it was Darkness on the Edge of Town I was singing. I said, listen to this. And I'm playing it and actually singing it for her. Mm-hmm. And I look up and she's crying. I was like, why are you crying? I thought something was wrong. She goes, you sound kind of good. And I was like, why is it making you cry? She's like, because you sounded horrible. And I didn't know how to tell you, you can't do this. And I'm really relieved that you sound okay. And so, I was like, geez. And so I'm still learning. I still feel like every week I sound a little bit better.
Yeah.
Because I'm learning to sing.
Okay, evolution process. Now yeah. It's just like, when, what can this get to? You know, if you're already selling out shows and people.
Well, I've learned this. The tribute band world is a thing, you know? And the top of it is like 2,000 seat theaters. That's what, like, kind of, you know, there's like a Grateful Dead one and a Led Zepp one and a Journey one and a bunch of this Springsteen, a couple of them too. And so you hope to reach that. And the more
you a Vegas residency.
Huh?
We get you a Vegas residency.
That I couldn't do because you got to do that every night. And I'd blow myself out. No, I can't do that.
Like once a week in that new.
Once a week
place,
I could do.
I think we could do
at that. The Sphere. I don't know
what
if I can.
Said we. Like I'm
I would need a bunch. Well,
this.
Maybe I'd need your help. Yeah, I'd need a bunch of acts. Well, you know, there's a lot of actors who like Michael Shannon has an REM tribute band. I didn't know this.
Okay.
Maya Rudolph does a Prince. It's called Princess.
Okay.
She does one, and supposedly she's amazing. So I'm thinking of, like, maybe a few of us get together and, like, you know.
Yeah, you didn't mention me.
What's your tribute band? Do you have one?
No, I'm going to put together
the
New Edition band.
All right, well, you know.
You've inspired
I'm open.
Me. I figured give myself 6 months.
Just take 6 months and do nothing else.
I'm awful to learn how to sing.
Yeah.
Everybody asked you this, so we're not sure if Bruce knows or has seen the show.
I heard he does. A mutual friend knew his wife and played it for her, and actually in his dentist chair. And I don't know, but okay. I think it might have gotten to them, and I think they liked it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you? That's the ultimate level of respect. Unless somebody's really
I think
bad.
What comes through is the love and the true right. tribute, and it's all for charity, and it's done out of love and joy.
Backpedaling a little bit. So obviously, Brooklyn Bowl in Philadelphia on Halloween. You're also touring. So for our national audience, you just go, your Instagram, your website?
Yeah, we're easystreet.com.
Okay.
It's the Easy Street Band, E, letter Z. And we're just starting, we'll be in Philly Halloween night mm-hmm. for a Halloween party, as I mentioned. And we'll be at Brooklyn Bowl, Brooklyn, the week after.
Okay.
We'll be at the Stone Pony in Asbury Park. Now, that's the mothership for Bruce fans. Asbury Park, November 15th. That one's almost sold out already. And then next year, we're still putting together our tour dates.
Okay. So this is the foreseeable future. I feel like you could now kind of pull out anything. So when you ask people who are doing so many things, what's next? I feel like for you, that could be anything.
No, it's this. I mean, I love this so much that I've been turning down a lot of acting work because I just really want to build this. And the foundation means a lot to me. I really want to, I like pouring money into it. And so I love doing this so much that it takes a lot to get me to try to do anything else right now.
Tell us about the foundation, more about it's called it, that's what inspired all this.
It is what was right. the basic, it was the desire to do this, meeting up with this crazy desire to imitate Bruce that sort of married each other.
Okay.
It's called the 4-9 Foundation, and our primary focus is education, which I've been involved with for years and years. I'm on the board of the Dream School in New York, which is an incredible charter school up in the South Bronx and in Harlem. And social justice, which has become very important to me the last 10, 15 years. I'm on the board of the Human Solidarity Project as well. They're just a social justice awareness organization that has a unique, compassionate, very loving approach to that kind of work. And also recovery. I'm a sober guy. Health and wellness and sobriety, really important to me. 4 through 9 is after steps 4 through 9 in the program. Okay. Taking accountability and then giving back, essentially, is steps 4 through 9. And so that's it. And we give, the foundation can give really anywhere. So I'm thinking of, like, maybe even in Philly, I might pair with a local. We're looking for maybe Brooklyn Bowl Philly has an idea of where they'd like to give, or any local charity or organization, and kind of split the proceeds between Dream School and someplace here, perhaps.
Yeah.
So the foundation gives me flexibility of where to give, so we can play towns and maybe give locally as we go.
That's amazing. Was this always you? I look back on obviously The Simpsons for all those years, but a lot of the things you're doing, you were either by design or by circumstance involved in pop culture and phenomenon. Yeah. And a lot of situations. You were just talking about Springfield and the comments that were made because Springfield.
Yeah, Chief Wiggum's a little video. Yeah. Well, if you can eat cats and dogs in Springfield, you're doing it on Chief Wiggum's watch.
Right. You know? But you find yourself in the middle of a lot of the things that happen as cultural phenomena.
Well, The Simpsons does.
But you then,
by association, absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been fortunate enough to be a part of, I mean, The Simpsons has been part of pop culture for 36 years now. It does a lot of social commentary and satire. We predicted many things, oddly. Much is made of that. I was involved in this Apu controversy, which really what got me interested in social justice, because I had to all of a sudden really decide where I stood and all that, and where I needed to educate myself, and discovered that a lot of folks like me had really no idea about a lot of those issues as it relates to Hollywood or casting or really anything else. Or I'll speak for myself, I didn't. Mm-hmm. So I had to learn a lot. And it became important to me after a while to give back in that way. And other education has always been something I've been passionate about. And then recovery I became passionate about as well. So these were all, they're organic to me.
It's cool to do something like that and then have it kind of move into life and the ability to make change through what started off as comedy voices.
I didn't think it would bring me there, but that's right. Where it led. And I'm kind of grateful for all of it.
It is a segue to how we end every episode of The Pulse. We try to talk about people who are using their voice for good, as you obviously are, but that's the question we ask everyone to end the show. What does the phrase "use your voice for good" mean to you?
I think it has special meaning for me, since I have so many voices. So it has a lot of meanings, right? Some of it is taking the money I'm fortunate enough to make as a Simpson and setting that aside for the foundation and to give back. Some of it is, taking a stand and speaking your truth where you feel it's appropriate, which I feel should be done judiciously. I don't think just because I'm an actor or a celebrity that I should just spout off about whatever. I think it's important to learn and really know what you're talking about and be thoughtful about what you share. I think that, for me, if I can get out there and raise money, singing like Bruce, talking like Bruce, I'm going to do it. So it has a lot of different meanings for me.
Hank Azaria and the Easy Street Band on tour. Hank Azaria in studio. Thank you. I appreciate you coming in.
Thanks for having me.
This has been fun.
I've enjoyed it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to The Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. Today with actor, voice artist, now singer, performer, activist is another term he embraces, Hank Azaria. I just love hearing the stories. I often tell you that one of the most positive things about doing this show is finding out that people you see on TV or on film or here on the radio or what have you are actually sincerely positive and involved people. That's what makes the show fun and worth it to me, and I hope that you enjoy that aspect of it as well. Hit the like, follow, subscribe, whatever button is currently on your screen so you get the notification the next time an episode of The Pulse comes out weekly. Also, make sure you download the Fox Local app so all of our shows, how many are we up to now? 100 and something shows are all right there with some really cool guests that I'm sure you'll enjoy, and they're all on demand on the Fox Local app. You can hit me up at Bill A. Fox 29 with any questions, comments, encouragement, maybe a criticism, maybe not. Anyway, always a pleasure, and I leave you today as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.